This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage. It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, as you just heard. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, it is News from the Nest. How about we kill two birds with one stone today? Joining us now, he's our Orioles and Ravens reporter. You can hear him weeknights on The Fan, shaking it up sports. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, fellas?
All right, before we get to the Ravens, because you're heading out to one winning drive as they're back at practice getting ready for the Bengals, you were down at the warehouse as Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde did their end-of-season meeting with the local media. What are some of the takeaways that you gathered, especially from what Mike Elias had to say about the upcoming offseason?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Elias, he did most of the talking, as you would imagine, considering we don't talk to him as often as we talk to Brandon Hyde, but Mike Elias is still sounding optimistic about the future of this team going forward, especially this offseason. He kind of doubled down to say that, you know, they're really going to try this year. He talked about as happy as he is with the success that this team had this year with a winning record and barely missing the playoffs. It's still not where they want to be. You know, fourth place in the American League East isn't nothing to throw a party about. But right now it kind of is. But he wants to change that mindset, and, you know, he wants to bring in new guys, and he did. You know, I asked him about the fact of going out and bringing in these free agents. You know, he's already shown that he could bring in young talent. They have the number one farm system in baseball. They brought up two number one prospects this year. But I asked him about, you know, going out and bringing in new guys from the outside of the organization to help get this team where they want to be. And, you know, he said he was excited about that. He said that he feels like that this is a free agent destination. He feels like players are going to want to play with this team that's young, energetic, and fresh. And I think, you know, the future is definitely still bright for this club. And Mike Elias, he raved about Brandon Hyde. He raved about this club in general. And, you know, like I said, I think he really expressed how excited he is to really get to work this offseason.
All right, Cordell, down there at the warehouse, Orioles getting ready for a doubleheader against the Blue Jays to wrap up the season. But let's transition to the other birds, the Ravens, coming off that tough loss to Buffalo. John Harbaugh and others back at it with the media. As we get to this game against Cincinnati, it's not an end-all, be-all scenario for sure, but the margin for error, I guess, if they lose, is what? Because you got winnable games on the schedule, Cordell, after the Bengals, but you lose here. We all know they're 2-3, 0-3 at home, and you got your first division L, and you've lost three straight to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't look at this as like a must-win game by any means. It's week five, but it's a game that they need to win, in a sense. Like, they need this game for their own mental. You know, just for their the vibe in the locker room, just for the mentality of this team, they need this win. They need to be able to see that they can beat a quality team in the AFC, and they haven't done that to this point. They also need to show that they can win at home. That's crazy to say they haven't been able to do that in quite some time. So definitely want to go out there and take on this tough Bengals team that's 1-2 straight. They're kind of feeling themselves right now, and they're coming in at a time where the Ravens are kind of on their heels and are facing a ton of questions And the Ravens have to show that they can prove, they need to prove to themselves and I think to their fans that they know how to close out games right now, because so far that hasn't been the case. And 2-3 is not what you want to do, especially, I know people look at that Giants game as like a, you know, kind of an easy game, but it's not. It's not. The Ravens have allowed teams to run on them whenever they want to. Saquon Barkley leads the league in total scrimmage yards right now. That's a, I think that's a recipe for disaster for the way that this defense is playing. They have struggled to tackle in space. They're not the fastest on that second level on this defense. I think going up against that Giants team could really be a eye-opening game for them. So I think it's important that they beat this Bengals team coming in because for all the reasons that I mentioned. And just like I said, they have to get a quality win specifically at home.
Now, Cordell, watching, did you see the All-22 yet?
I watched about a decent amount of it. I got to go back and probably finish up the fourth quarter, but I watched a nice amount of it.
Okay. What I kind of noticed, Cordell, I mean, Patrick Queen was either great or he was awful. I mean, there was no in between. He was either doing good or he was taking bad. I mean, I showed Bob to start the third quarter. He had three awful plays in a row. I mean, his angles and stuff were horrendous. He's just so inconsistent for them right now. I think that's why they have him blitz. He's a very good blitzer, and that's what he does well, and I think that's what he's going to continue to do.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's definitely the strength to Patrick Queen is him as a blitzer, using his speed to go downhill, getting the opportunity to play in the opposing team's backfield. Those are definitely his strengths. But he, you know, I'm kind of in limbo with Patrick Queen. I think he's a decent player. I don't think he's as bad as everybody makes it seem.
Agreed.
But I also look at it as like, what are their alternatives? They literally have nobody else at that linebacker in that linebacking room right now that I think can perform better than Patrick Queen is right now. And I think some of the knocks on Patrick Queen is that he's leaving plays on the field. This is back-to-back weeks where he has dropped an interception that they need it. They need it, you know, both of them in the grand scheme of things. And I think that's the frustrating part, is that people see that he has the capabilities to make these plays, but he just doesn't do it, or he's not doing it on a consistent basis enough. And when you're a first-round pick, the expectations are already high, but when you're a first-round pick and a middle linebacker out here in Baltimore, the expectations are through the roof. And he has not met them to this point, and it's just a terrible situation I think that this team is in right now, just as a whole when you look at a lot of these first-round guys that they've used on the defensive side of the ball that they've used first-round picks on. They haven't all panned out to this point, and even though they haven't been terrible, they have not been good enough to make you feel like they were worth where they were drafted. So it's a troubling thing for this team, because when you get in a situation where you're not hitting on consecutive first-round picks, it sets your team back.
Yeah. You know who I felt sorry for watching that tape, Cordell, is Linderbaum. You know, I mean, because, you know, he gets those false starts, and it's not his fault. You know, he's like looking at that clock, and he knows, because he's a smart dude, he's seeing it 3-2-1, come on, you know. And then he's like rocking, you know, like, you know, and then he snaps it, and he gets the penalty. And it's not his fault, in my opinion.
I mean, that's kind of been the thing that we've been talking about this offense for a while now, breaking a huddle late, getting to the line of scrimmage late, getting the play call in late. You know, they get to the line of scrimmage, and it seems like it's a lot of times under 5 seconds at that point. And you're right, Linderbaum is put in a weird situation. Like, do I jump the gun and get a false start, or do we just take the delay of game? And I think it's a bad position that they're putting their players in right now. I don't know if it's about Lamar taking long to interpret the calls and actually tell the rest of the guys to play call in the huddle, or if it's Greg Roman getting the play call in late or whatever it is. They've said in the past, just a couple of weeks ago, that maybe they need to shorten the language in the plays. I mean, do something. There's no reason that the quarterback should have to say a whole paragraph to get the play call in to his teammates. It's ridiculous at this point. And, you know, you look at the second half specifically for this team, they have not been good on the offensive side of the ball. I talked about it last night on my show. Lamar Jackson has not been good at all this season in the fourth quarter. Lamar in the fourth quarter is 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this season. And I think he's like ranked 28th and QBR in the fourth quarter. That's not going to get it done. And I know Lamar is better than that. He expects better from himself. So I think there's a lot of blame to go around on the offensive side of the ball. But definitely the to start the second half with the penalties that they started with, it didn't help.
Yeah, and you know, when you watch it, I mean, Cordell, they had three series the second half, you know. And the first one, they started out first and 15, so they killed themselves before they even took a snap. Then the next series, you know, Bateman dropped the ball. And Cordell, I don't know if you saw it on the All-22, but he ran a beautiful route. I mean, the route was spectacular. Mm-hmm. It was just like his 80-yard touchdown run.
It was exactly, yep.
And except, you know, I mean, it was his third drop of the day. And if he catches that, Cordell, he beats a free safety, it's over, you know. That's that one. And then down, you know, their last series down there, the offensive tackles, you know, poor Lamar, they push him right back and he can't see. So I think Lamar's doing fine. It's just other people around him are kind of letting him down.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's clear right now to say that the Ravens don't have enough weapons. They don't. You know, we came into this season and we had a lot of question marks about this receiving group, and I think that they should be brought back up. Even in the successes, you know, even in the wins, I have not felt comfortable about this receiving group at all this season. You know, you look at a game, what, two games ago, Mark Andrews has 8 catches. Next guy after him has 2 catches. And I get Rashad Bateman and Devin Duvernay. They've had their games where they're getting the touchdowns, but I don't think either of them have had a game where they've had more than 4 catches in the game. At some point, somebody else other than Mark Andrews has to be the guy. You saw this week, I did watch enough of the All-22 to see that the Bills did a great job on Mark Andrews.
Yes, they did.
A great job taking him away in that game. And I think that teams are going to start forcing the Ravens to get the ball to somebody else. And they simply can't do it. Guys aren't getting open. Guys aren't catching the ball. That drop that Rashad Bateman had on that slant is a pass that he's got to make. It wasn't the perfect pass, but it hits his hands. It goes right off the tip of his fingers, and he drops it. The very next possession, Stephon Diggs catches one right off his fingertip.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between between the Ravens and other elite teams in the AFC. They have difference makers on the offensive side of the ball. And I just don't think that the Ravens have
them. He's Cordell Woodland. He's on his way to one winning drive. Ravens back at practice today, getting ready for the Cincinnati Bengals as 3-point favorites. Cordell, appreciate it as always. Have fun with the Ravens.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, got Cordell. It. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, count some money. Little buy or sell coming your way. Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com. Talk about the minor league season that was for the Orioles and how stacked they are down on the farm. And then we're going to break down the Ravens' defense on film. Vinny's film study, what happened on that last drive as Buffalo marched down for the game-winning field goal.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. A ton of sports-related subjects to address. But right now, let's crush some money by yourself.
Well, Bob, we were up for 2 days. Now the Dow's down 171. The S&P's down 30. NASDAQ is down 129. DraftKings down 45 cents. Under Armour down 7 cents.
We brought this up a little bit yesterday. Alex Verdugo, kind of his sour grapes towards the Dodgers. But the fact is, the Dodgers, their fan base, despite receiving that World Series in 2020, they've seen a lot of promising teams fall short in recent years. Once again, expectations are high. Best record in franchise history. And as Bill Plaschke writes here in his column for the LA Times, says, quote, if the Dodgers win the World Series, they could be arguably anointed as the best team in baseball history. If they don't win the World Series, they could be forever known as one of the biggest disappointments in baseball history. Also pushes back against Dave Roberts, calling for fans to just enjoy the ride. But are you buying or selling that statement? Best team if they win, biggest disappointment if they come up short.
I'm going to say there are better teams than this year's Dodgers team that didn't win the World Series. 69 Orioles come to mind, who won 109 games, among others, by the way. It's all or nothing for them. They've been built to win World Championships for 10 years plus. So sure, this is going to be just disappointing. Remember last year, the Giants set a franchise record for wins and lost to the Dodgers in the playoffs because of the way the seeding scenarios were. So yeah, if they fall flat, it is disappointment city. And some, yeah, so I'm buying it. And then, but if they win the greatest team ever, selling that, disappointment, yes. The most disappointing team, no, I'm not buying that. If that makes any sense whatsoever. I'm still thinking about that triple chocolate ice cream that Vinny was talking about a half an hour ago.
Oh, yeah.
And that cookies and cream. Michael Jordan of ice cream. Dunks on you from the foul line.
Well, it's never convenient to play on a short week in the NFL. The Colts, definitely even more inconvenient this week. You got a quick turnaround. And Jonathan Taylor, he's dealing with an ankle injury. So his status for tomorrow night, it's still very much up in the air. But if he can't go, it would be the first time in his career he's missed a game due to injury. We know the Colts struggling on offense, even with Taylor, a league worst 14.3 points per game. Vinny, buy or sell, Colts stand no chance against the Broncos if Taylor can't go.
I'm going to buy it just because they're going to have, you know, I mean, the quarterback's going to get killed, you know, if they can't run the football and they're just one-dimensional because they're not blocking very well. So, yeah, I'll definitely probably, Bob, I'm not really, like, jacked up. I mean, I hope there's a good college game. I hadn't looked at the schedule yet, but I'm not really.
You're not feeling this matchup, are you?
No, plus I can't stand the Amazon Prime stuff and everything. It, you know, reboots or refreshes all the time. Just drives me nuts.
Well, you can add the White Sox to the list of teams in need of a new manager. And Liam Hendricks, one of their pitchers, he talked about that vacancy, didn't point to any specific names as to who he wants as the manager, but rather some characteristics he's looking for. His quote here, as a unit, we need an authoritarian. I think we need someone who's going to be a little harsher on some things, not let things slide. That's kind of interesting considering many thought La Russa was going to be that no-nonsense, old-school kind of guy. Are you buying or selling that that's what the White Sox need in their next manager?
Well, I mean, I've never been in their clubhouse, so I don't know what that dynamic is. But you have some guys that are free spirits, shall we say, with Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu. And Liam Hendricks, I believe, had a cup of coffee with the Orioles way back when. I mean, they need something. They need to stay healthy. I think that was the key for Chicago this year. But if Liam Hendricks says it, I'll go ahead and buy it. I guess he needs a hug when he blows a save. Or maybe a foot up his ass. I don't know.
That's what the authoritarian.
Right.
That's right. Well, we've heard the rumors for weeks. The Giants, Odell, a potential reunion. That heated up even more this week. He made a visit to the facility, but not an official one. No business discussed. He just wanted to visit some former teammates. I guess you can only do that by visiting the facility. You can't see them on their own time, apparently. But all we keep hearing is that the Rams are going to bring him back. They left a locker open for him. It's got his name on it, but he's still a free agent. What's the holdup here, Vinny? Buy or sell, by the time Odell is healthy enough to return, the Rams won't even be an attractive landing spot.
Oh, I'll buy that. If I'm him, I wouldn't go there now. Green Bay is the place. Aaron Rodgers was talking about him on the McAfee show yesterday. So he's going to have a few suitors. And best thing for him is, you know, if say he's not ready till week 9 or 10, he'll have a pretty good feel for, you know, where he wants to go. He's going to want to go to a place that he can win the Super Bowl.
And surprising news out of Green Bay is Sammy Watkins has missed 2 games. Stunning.
No, he's going to miss 2 more, at least.
We'll close with this here. The Orioles, they certainly didn't think that Nelson Cruz was going to maintain that high level of play after 2014, but he made it into his 40s and was still mashing. But now 2022, is the ride coming to an end? Pretty bad year with the Nats, just 10 home runs in 124 games. Spoke about his future recently, said that obviously still has the desire to play, to win a championship. That won't be with DC, but Bob, buy or sell, Cruz will still have a market this offseason as a free agent despite a down year.
I'm going to sell it. He might have a tepid market, but you talked about the power production pretty much disappearing and the Nationals were terrible. I mean, does he Like, if you're going to ask, should the Orioles sign him, I'm going to say no. A resounding no. They're about 8 years past that one. But, yeah, somebody might, but a big market where he gets to pick and choose where he'll wind up, I think he might be, and I'm just going to sign with someone to get some more at-bats. Maybe he's chasing some personal goals, which keeps him still around. So, yeah, I'm selling that there'll be a big market for Nelson Cruz. When we come back, there's a market for Tony Pente. He's talking about the Orioles farm system rated number one in baseball this year and still looking very strong. Hey, remember, they did have the number one pick in the draft. Hello. Hello, Jackson Holliday. So they're still adding pieces. And we'll talk to Tony about that. And we'll look at the Ravens defense film study-wise. What happened on that last Buffalo drive? Buffalo minus a ton of receivers. They were dropping like flies, but they still marched down the field. That's coming your way later in the hour.
Taking sports to a whole new level. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. You pick the songs. Favorite female artist or band, get their request to the Plaza for text line. Nolan McGraw, he's got a playoff for you. NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Then Ryan Wilson at 1:15. CBSSports.com preview week 5 with him. But the Orioles minor league season winding down, actually over, but some Arizona fall stuff still taking place. Here to talk about the birds down on the farm from OrielsHangout.com. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Tony Pente. Tony, good afternoon. How you feeling?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going all right. Let's talk about Heston Kerstedt. And I know we brought him up from time to time. He's in the Arizona Fall League trying to reestablish himself as a top prospect. He was slow pitch softballing in Delmarva. Aberdeen, I guess things got a little more difficult for him. But did we see why he was the number two pick in the draft? Were those talent flashes there this season?
Yeah, he had the flashes. And I think you're starting, even in the AFL, he's already hit a pretty big home run there, and there was some video of that. You're always going to see the flashes with him. And the talent is in there. He just has been away from the game for so long. It was really surprising of the big start he got in Delmarva. But, you know, a lot of those were, I watched a lot of those games. There's a lot of ground ball singles he got there. He was hitting the ball just too much on the ground for a power hitter. And I'm sure that was some of the adjustments he was making when he tried to get to Aberdeen and his numbers went down. But, you know, he's just a guy that needs plate appearances. And it's good that he's out in the AFL. It's exactly what he needs to do, just get more playing time. And I think we'll see a better Kerstedt next year.
What prospect to you, Tony Pente, and at OrielsHangout.com, of course, you do prospect rankings. What prospect took the biggest jump in 2022?
Yeah, I think this is an easy one. Joey Ortiz. Joey went in there. He just had one of the most amazing second halves. When he got healthy, his shoulder was fully healthy. This guy took off, and he is a plus defensive shortstop, a real shortstop. You know, I mean, we talk a lot about guys that play shortstop, and you hear me a lot of times saying, he can play there, but not really probably a full-time guy. Well, with Ortiz, this is a full-time plus defender. And now you add the fact that hit 19 home runs, he had 35 doubles. This is a guy with pop, and I'm telling you, pop to all fields. I've seen him hit him out the right center for a right-handed hitter. He has a very low swing strike percentage, so he's not swinging and missing a whole lot. This is a guy that has a legitimate chance of competing for a position out of spring training next year, in my mind. He'll be protected. He'll be a guy that comes into there. He's going to be a guy that's going to have an impact on the 2023 season with the Orioles.
Hey, Tony, do you expect a lot of changes in the minor league system, whether it be managers, GMs, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, every year you see that, especially with the Orioles. They've been making a lot of changes with their coaching, you know, trying to find the right guys that fit their system. So, yeah, I would imagine you're going to see some guys that will move around and they'll get the guys that they feel that are the guys they need.
Now, Tony, what about, like, the high-end prospects? Their season's over. What are they doing now, between now and spring training?
Well, a lot of those guys, you know, obviously the first couple of months are probably in a rest mode. You know, it's a long season. It's a long season of riding buses, going from place to place. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of guys going to take a little bit of time off. I'm sure they do a little bit of keeping their strength training up and so forth. You usually see guys start to ramp up, really, when it gets into December and even into January. Just, you know, you'll see those guys ramp up on their baseball activities. There's a lot of things they're working on now with eye-hand coordination. They can use VR training at home to simulate pitches. And pitchers, you know, pitchers, that's a little different story. A lot of those guys just have to go into rest mode now, running a lot of pitches. So, you know, they may be going over some of the finer nuances of the pitches they need to improve. They'll maybe doing some work there. But a lot of that stuff really starts to ramp up in that late December and then early January timeframe.
Tony Petty, OrielsHangout.com, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Getting back to the prospects, Ortiz ascending big time. Who had a rough year? Who's descending? Who lost some luster in 22?
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it because we just talked about him, but I think Kerstad lost a little bit of luster just because of his Aberdeen, you know, his Aberdeen lack of statistics, the lack of power. We, you know, expected to see more power from him. So I think he's kind of the guy. I mean, we had a top, you know, he was a top 10 guy. I think he's fallen out of the top 10. You know, you have a lot of the new draft picks are coming in, the Jackson Holidays and the Dylan Beavers. These guys are going to be pretty high on the list coming up. And then you have these guys that have jumped like Joey Ortiz. And they even added in some good talent. When you look at Cade Povich, the left-hander they picked up in the Lopez deal, I think he's a guy that has a lot of talent, a lot of upside there. You know, he's probably right now probably the best left-handed starter pitching prospect the Orioles have in the system.
Tony Petty, what's happening at OrielsHangout.com as the minor league season has ended, but it's always happening on your website for sure.
Yeah, we just have a ton of information going on right now with guys talking about all the prospects. I'll start delivering. I'm doing all my work right now trying to get together the prospect list. We should probably have that out in the October, hopefully late October, early November timeframe, when we'll have our full list and start putting that out. But there's always conversation over there on the message board, people talking about the prospects. If you want to know anything about anybody that's in the system, that's the place to go to find out.
Tony Petty, OrielsHangout.com. Tony, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
All right, guys. Have
Thanks,
a great
Tony.
Time.
Yep.
You got it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles and Blue Jays underway. Top one down at Camden Yards. We'll keep you up to date on the score as we get one. But we're in a giving mood here on this Wednesday because it's Wise Wednesday. And we're giving away a $25 Wise Market gift card, courtesy of Wise Markets, of course. Your Baltimore game day tailgate headquarters where you eat better, spend less. That's Wise. Be caller number 5 right now at 410-583-1057. Caller Joe Flacco, caller number 5, and get that $25 Wise Market gift card. When we come back, we're going to get to that film study. We talked about the Ravens offense and what went wrong against Buffalo. What went wrong with the defense, especially on that last drive as the Bills came from 17 down to stun the Ravens. Film study coming up next here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan. The Fan.
All right. Turn the old microphone on, get rolling, and it's the film study. We did the offense of the Ravens earlier in the show as Vinny broke down the loss to the Buffalo Bills, and there were some good and the bad with the offense. Now we talk about what happened defensively. The Ravens blew a 17-point lead, so it all is not great, or maybe it wasn't as bad as it appeared. Vinny, the film study of the defense.
I thought secondary played extremely well. There was nobody running open. They played extremely well, I thought. You know, they played good coverage. They played a lot of cover two, which is two deep safeties. They always had somebody deep, whether it be two or whether it be one. A lot of times they played two deep and they played some man under. They played man free with a man in the middle of the field. But they held up well. You know, the corners did a good job. Humphrey, Peters, the safeties, you know, did a nice job. And even when You know, Kyle Hamilton came in. He did fine. I mean, he covered tight end number 85. He covered him a few times. Pepe, I didn't see Pepe a ton. But they did a very – because I thought they had a lot of weapons, and I didn't know how they were going to cover some of these guys. But in the first half, some of those guys helped them by dropping eight balls, you know, in the first half. You know, so that helped
Correct.
Them. You know, but I thought overall secondary did a nice job. And I thought, you know, the secondary tackled pretty well in the secondary. You know, I mean, on the one slant route, you know, Marcus Peters, you know, I mean, he was playing two-hand touch, you know, when the guy caught the slant route. And, you know, he's not going to take him to the ground. He's just going to hold him there. The big problem to me is the linebackers, you know, with Bynes and Queen. That's kind of – you don't know what you're getting. That's the problem. They could be good. They could be horrible. You know, and Queen, I love Queen when he blitzes. When he plays normal, it's 50-50 what's going to happen. That's how I feel. You know, and Bob, I showed you three plays to start the third quarter, and he was awful. Awful on all three. His angles were horrendous. He's missing tackles. You know, it was just bad. Bad football. You know, bad reads. And, like, when you watch, you know, people say, why is Buffalo so good covering the tight ends? I mean, Milano and Edmonds are really good inside linebackers against the pass, you know. And the Ravens don't have – middle of the field kills the Ravens because those guys aren't good in the middle of the field. So the linebackers, to me, are extremely scary. The outside backers, JPP – he hadn't played in a long time, and it was noticeable. I mean, he didn't provide a lot of oomph getting to the quarterback. He played hard. He chased. He made like four tackles, which was good, but he didn't threaten at all in the pass rush. You know, and if they had Houston and Ajabo and Bowser all healthy, there'd be no need for him unless he's got to make a big jump, you know, next week. You know, be better, you know, have more of your legs, and then let's see the following week after that, and let's just see. Otherwise, if he continues to be the same, he's done. You know, then he's done. Oway, thought Oway did some better things. I mean, he's showing some moves now. On his sack, he basically, you know, the reason that made it such a good move, because he's like bending the corner and trips. And then falls into the quarterback, which got him low, you know, which ended up being a nice play on his part. But he showed a nice bull rush in there. I mean, he showed some moves that, okay, you know, whatever they worked on during the week, I can see it. And I think, you know, that to me, he's got a chance. Is he ever going to be like a dominant one? I don't think so. But, I mean, Bob, their left tackle's a pro bowler. Buffalo's left tackle with Dawkins. And he bull rushed him right back. And then, you know what? And then he made a nice speed move around. He's still got to work that counter. He's still got to work his counters. And he's got to work his spin back inside. You know, but he was okay. Seems to me like Calais, when he plays a lot, Bob, kind of wears down as the game goes on now. I thought, you know, Calais did a decent job against the run. You know, Matabike, he made a couple plays. You know, and does a good job fundamentally. Washington is not doing a lot, you know, especially in the pass game. He's not getting a lot. Travis Jones, I saw a good bull rush one time, you know, but he doesn't play a lot in like nickel dime. That's not his cup of tea right now. He's a run defender. But overall, you know what they did to start the second half, Bob? They're down 20-3. Look to me like they said, or at least Josh Allen said, hey guys, it's on me. Put on my shoulders. I mean, how many runs did he have,
right,
you know, in that third quarter? He's like, yeah, time for me to do my thing, you know, because this other stuff's not working. You know, I think that's what started it because they couldn't tackle him. And then, you know, they start running the ball because Queen was taking bad angles. And, you know, they run that boot where he gets a touchdown and Queen takes a bad angle. It was just a lot of, you know, bus down there, you know, and a lot of it's just from the linebacker. And you know what? One of the biggest problems is in the second half, too, Bob. I mean, Josh Allen was standing back there and had all day to throw. They were getting no pressure. And that's what happens when, you know, Oway and JPP, who practiced two times in the last year, you know, they're exhausted. They got no juice left, and they're playing 90% of the time. And Josh Allen's standing back there. And the Ravens are doing a hell of a job covering, but you can't cover that long. And what happened, too, Bob, was in those critical situations in the second half, the Ravens receivers, what'd they do? They drop balls. Buffalo's receivers, you know, Knox makes a play. Diggs makes a couple plays. Singletary's catching the ball, making people miss. Their guys made plays, and the Ravens didn't. Was it the defensive guys' fault? I think it was more the offensive guys' fault because they didn't make any plays, and they didn't score any points, and they had opportunity to score points, the Ravens did, but they didn't make plays. They had busts where Buffalo didn't.
Let's get back to Patrick Queen, and he took a lot of heat, as you recall, on the phone lines and on the text line after the game. It's his third year in the NFL. Baltimore's going to have to decide if they're going to pick up that fifth-year option.
No way. No way. I mean, Bob, you look at, like, if you asked Mike McDonald or Harps, you know, would you rather have Milano or Queen? It's not even, Milano.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even a choice. You know, Queen is just too inconsistent, Bob, and I don't know that he's got the instincts, the natural instincts to be a consistent player. Because I showed you, you know, like when Queen ran through and missed Singletary and he went down the field for, I don't know, 20 yards or whatever. Then I showed you the play where Buffalo, the Ravens did the exact same thing. And Milano, he takes proper angle and what do they get? A minus three.
Sure.
You know, that's the difference is with Milano, you can count on him. You know, if you tell him he's going to be there. You know, with Queen, you don't know. He runs around blocks wrong, you know. He just fundamentally does some, like, the hell's he thinking? You know, why would you cut inside like that? I mean, come on. You know, I mean, so Queen's a big part of the issue they got. And the other issue is that they don't have any depth at pass rusher where totally exhausted, you know. You just, they can't bring. And the other thing, Bob, is like, in fourth quarter. All these games come down to the fourth quarter. And they're sending Von Miller and Rousseau at you, you know. And the Ravens are sending Owe and JPP, you know. And your quarterback standing all over. Why did the Ravens not win that game? Because of two pass rushers. Ravens don't have that. And that was the difference.
Now you got Cincinnati coming up Sunday, as we all know. Burrow was sacked 13 times in the first 2 weeks of the season, 3 times in the last 2 weeks combined. And you would think this could be a game maybe where the pass rush gets off the schneid. Tyus Bowser might be back at practice this week. Who knows what Justin Houston's going to be feeling like. Does another week in the system help Jason Pierre-Paul? We don't know.
I don't know about in the system, but conditioning-wise, sure. You know, to get his legs, that's the thing. But, Bob, with Bengals, I can't wait to see the film, you know, today, tonight, tomorrow morning, whenever I see it. Because I want to see, you know, the offensive line seemed like it's improved. You know, and if it's improved, then that's going to be tough. Because if Burrow has time to throw with all the weapons that he's got, and Hayden Hurst looks good, too. You know, and Joe Mixon's, you know, going to start cranking it up pretty soon. So it'll be a challenge. I mean, Mike McDonald came into a situation, Bob, where I got a great secondary, and
yeah, you well, know. The things that we've talked about, all of us, the media, the fans, about the defense and the concerns, we're watching it all in real time, the struggles.
No doubt.
And Kyle Hamilton's been somewhat disappointing through 4 games so far.
Yeah, and you know what, Bob? Like, I watch him on special teams and stuff, too, and you know what it looks to me like? Like, Ed Reed was kind of a nasty dude, wasn't he? I mean, I don't. You saw him all the time.
Oh yeah, he had an edge to him for
right.
Sure. Still does.
Kyle Hamilton, Bob, kind of reminds me of a nice. You know, he's from a wealthy school in Atlanta.
Right. Ed wasn't a dirty player. He was an aggressive.
You know.
I mean, you talk about instincts.
Went to Notre Dame. You know, and he just. Just not that nasty guy that wants to punch you in the mouth kind of guy. He just seems like, yes, sir. No, sir. Cut it.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Some NFL lunch. Feed you some more football. Start getting you ready a little bit for week 5. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. He'll be joining us at 1:15 to discuss that very subject. Orioles are taking on the Blue Jays. Game 1 of a doubleheader happening down at Camden Yards. As soon as we get a score, well, it's nothing right now. Top of the second. Orioles trying to close on a high note. Already guaranteed to finish above 500. Keep striving for more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.